So good evening, everybody. This evening, I'm joined by a very special guest, Sean McGuinness, the lead singer of the Dublin City Ramblers. The Dublin City Ramblers are an Irish folk band formed in 1970. The band have been growing strong for more than 50 years. They have had some of the most influential members throughout the 50 years, and they have made over 40 albums, received several awards for Best Ballad Group, and to top it all off, they've 8 golden albums. So thank you so much, Sean, for taking the time to come on the show and share your story with us. How are you?
I'm grand, Ciara. The pleasure's all mine, believe me. And it's great to see you after such a while. We haven't seen you in a little while.
In a little while. Sean knows
I'm in nappies.
Thank you. Okay, so I suppose my first question to you, Sean, is where are you from and what was it like growing up in that area?
I was born in the Liberties in James Street, 151 James Street. And there's actually two other lads, Terry Woods out of the Pogues and Jim Lockhart out of Horslips. We were all born, three of us were in the same class in James Street School. So, and the lads got on, were flying now themselves. But then we moved into Cork when I was 4 and I spent a lot of my life up there. And then met a lovely lady, and Brenda Creevy, and moved to Walkinstown in our first house, and moved a little bit. We're still in Walkinstown now to this day, so it's great. Yeah, I haven't changed.
Oh, I used to live beside Walkinstown. I never knew you were in Walkinstown. So, do you ever do gigs locally, or that time has passed?
We did some years ago. The place called the Submarine Bar. They were great friends of ours, and the bar closed down eventually. And the lads, there were two lads, Johnny Smith and Frank Smith, who ran that. Your dad would have known them really well. They were great guys. And they loved the music as well. So they would book us for their locals from time to time. We spent all the World Cups down there as well, gigging.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The Submarine Bar was my local. I used to live, where did I live? I lived in Windmill Crescent, I think it was called.
Oh, I know it well, down in Crumlin, yeah.
Yeah, I lived there for all my sins. Okay, very good. I wish I knew that when I lived there, but never mind. Okay, so can you describe to me, because I'm 33, I've watched you in my dad's bars for many, many years, and I've seen sessions myself change in the last 10 to 15 years. So can you describe to me, I mean, you've got a man of your vintage, 50 years on me. Can you describe what Dublin pubs were like for sessions back then as compared to now? What were they like?
They were fantastic. I mean, there was times we a lot of the band, the ballad groups, a guy called, you know, Shay, a famous Shay Ailey, God love him, who passed away a few years ago. He's a great guy. And he used to have a magazine called Spotlight, and then it became Starlight. And he did a survey in 1969 of the amount of ballad groups, like solo, duos, trios and groups. And there was actually 650 in Dublin alone. No, I think there's about 2 now left.
Oh my God. Jesus.
I have the magazine. I came across a year or 2 ago. I was doing a clear out. And with the sessions, we do 3 gigs a day. Every Sunday, we do the Castle Inn on a Sunday morning, 12 to 2. Then we do O'Mara's on the Keys, 8 to 10. And then we go over to Liberty Hall, 12 to 2, you know.
If this is what you're doing at 21.
Huh?
If this is what you're doing at 21, I would like to see what you were like at 14. 3 gigs a day.
A day, absolutely. And all the bands were doing that, yeah. That's how many pubs that were actually packed 7 nights a week. Now, there's hardly any such thing as a session. You know, you get the odd guy going into a bar, but they're all, since COVID, they're all closing kind of very much earlier, and there's a few places still around, you know.
That's what I'm saying. And the difference, even over here, I'm living in the UK now, and if you get called, if you get the bell, you know it's time to go. And if you get the second bell, you're just not welcome anymore. And that's it. Pints up. It doesn't matter what you have left. In Ireland, I'm used to staying till 6 in the morning.
I know.
in bars. So, I mean, that's very sad. And it's a tradition I would hope that, I don't know, will it ever come back? The guards on
your... No, I don't think it'll ever come back the way it was. But it's back in a good way. We have a local pub around here. They don't do gigs or anything, but like the Lardos pub, and they're fantastic. Then they're back kind of jammed on a weekend. You can't get into it with meals and stuff. But it's mostly meals now. I mean, everybody goes and leaves at maybe 8, 9 o'clock. Pub closes almost, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Very few. It's in town maybe. It's all concentrated in town now.
Wow. And I was listening to one of your podcasts, or actually it was an interview back back in the day, you did an interview with a guy and you were telling him that you were from the Liberties and your mum, you had a musical background, something I didn't know before. So your mum was a pianist and your father was an All-Ireland Irish dancer. Is that right?
He was. Yeah, 3 years in a row, back, all way back in the 30s or something like that. And his actual dancing partner, we had a great family, the Mitchells, Jim Mitchell, who was a TD. And his mother, Gay Mitchell, he played football. Peter Mitchell played for St. Patrick's Athletic. And their mother was my father's dance partner. And my mother graduated from the College of Music in London, playing the piano. She was a fantastic piano player. But we had no money back then, and that's genuine. But she won a scholarship somehow, and she got over there. And I still have the certificate, yeah.
I'm getting goosebumps. So did you used to always have sessions in the house? You were saying on Christmas morning, you just leave the door open and people would just come up.
My father would have us go to 8 o'clock mass every Christmas morning. And, you know, the food didn't matter. Man, you've too much food in the fridge. There's no room for the drink, you know.
My father was the same Christmas morning, but he'd only be going to get the wine, you know.
Yeah. You don't go to mass if the wine was on draft. But we found to leave the door open. We come back from 8 o'clock mass, door open all day, and anybody passing by, come on and sing us. You have to sing a song if you come in. So that was all. So we didn't have our Christmas dinner until about 9 o'clock that night. You know.
Oh my gosh!
But he's a great character. He really was, and so was my mother. Yeah.
So did you have siblings as well, or were you on your own?
No, I had I have two brothers and one sister.
And did they have music in them as well?
Absolutely. My sister was a great singer. We sent my sister her favorite song. She said to me only a while ago, hey, if I pass away, I want her to sing at the Castle of Damore, the Clancy Brothers number. She ended up, we sent her to sit at the fire. I never played a guitar or a band, just picked it up and started playing. And when I was a kid and she was a little bit older than me, we sit by the fire. I'm not the only old Irish Mariah thing, but we did, and she'd sing a few songs and I played the guitar. And then when they just picked up a banjo, played that. But her favourite song was the Castle of Damore by the Clancy's, yeah, so.
I'm going to
listen. And then brother Paddy Ian. Yeah, he had a group called the Blue Caps. My brother Paddy. We worked, myself, him, and my other brother worked in the P&T, the Post and Telegraphs, repairing phones and switchboards.
How old were you then?
No, I shouldn't say I worked there because I never worked a day in my life. But my brother then, Matt, it was him who got me on the road. Myself, him, and a fellow called Pat Cummins formed the Jolly Tinkers in 1963.
Where did that name come from? The two names, I must ask you, the Queer Fellas and that name, where did they come from?
Well, the Jolly Tinkers came from Pat, the guy who joined us, Pat Cummins. His brother-in-law played in a band down in Tipperary called the Jolly Tinkers. And we were looking for a name for the band. He said, well, don't we call it that? There's a song called the Jolly Tinker, you know. And we named it. And then back in 67, up at the Cuckoo's Nest, they always remember it. Johnny Mac, Noel Guinity, ourselves and Noel Guinity, the famous comedian, we're doing a show, and he said, geez, lads, I just heard Johnny McAvoy's gone to number one with the Boston Burglar. And Noel just happened to say to us, you should definitely change your name to the Queer Fellas after the famous playwright Brendan Behan, you know, the play he wrote. So we did. And then 69, we split up, we went our own ways. And then we sat with Patsy Watchhorn. Patsy was in the Jolly Tinkers and the Queer Fellas as well. We formed the Rabblers. And the rest is history.
And good or bad. When you guys, obviously you were going for over 20 years strong together, was the Ferryman back then? Was that with Pat?
No, Ferryman we recorded in 85.
Right, okay, so that was after.
In St. John, yeah, that was way out. We formed the Ramblers in 70 and we recorded there. We just have a new project out at the moment. I don't know if you're aware of it. We re-recorded Pete St. John, but a lot of people don't realise he was living in America on all those years. He was a great golfer. He actually missed a hole in one by 6 shots. He was a great footballer, American footballer, and he was brilliant. But he came home in 76 and saw how Dublin had changed so drastically, you know. And he was a prophet more than the songwriter. He was brilliant. And he said, he rang us one day, Patsy, the other guy in the band, said, I just had a phone call from some guy by the name of Pete St. John, Peter Mooney, his real name. And he wants to meet us down in Goff. We're heading for Waterville in Kerry. Mick O'Dwyer, the famous footballer, his hotel, we were gigging that night. And he said, so we met him in Goff's and he came out and he sat on the bonnet of a car, the hood, as Americans say. And he played and sang the Railroad Ties for us. And in me, we all just said, geez, that's a winner. It's a fantastic song. So he wrote it for us. Everybody else writes the game, but he wrote it. We just came across actually the actual script of it up in the record company's office, where he said, "This is where the Ramblers dub is, and I'm just getting it together."
Oh, wow. So, and how does that work for other bands? Let's just say somebody else, like a young guy starting off, sings your song. Is that okay in the music industry? I'm not in this
position.
Yeah, it's okay to do
that. Once it's in that, they call it the public domain, anybody can record it.
Anyone can record it.
I just came back from America, actually, last week, and a friend of mine said she heard some band on Art of the M program singing it or something, that recorded it or something. And but the railroad, that's the ferryman I'm talking about. But the railroad times, we had an idea there recently, and we re-released it with the Sea of Change choir. There's 50 women in the choir, and they're all cancer survivors and supporters. So we did organize Pat Egan and Paul O'Reilly at Dolphin Records, and Jim McQuillan, our manager, organized a gig in the concert hall here, the National Concert Hall in Dublin. And it was sold out. There's 1,200 tickets sold immediately. And we raised €50,000 for cancer that night. But a Sea of Change choir did, and ourselves, we got together for that. So we decided we did bring out the Railroad Times with the girls, and it's become a huge topic. So it hasn't actually been officially released yet, but we are doing it now. We're doing Vicar Street in September or November. 10th
November, what date?
10th of November. It'll be ourselves and the choir and a few guest artists as well. Not sure who yet.
The 10th of November. Oh, I'm going to fly back.
Ah, you'd be welcome. I'll greet you at the airport.
Make sure she gets back on. When?
And yes, Jed Banger, I'll have the security there with me as well.
I've got sense, the older I've got. When Patsy left, was there, obviously there would have been a sadness, but did you think, that's it, I'm going to give up, I'm not going on any further? Was it amicable? Do you guys talk now? What way was it?
No, it was amicable, Patsy himself started the whole thing together, and his youngest daughter actually is my godchild. And she lives in Dubai. She was only home there a while ago for Christmas. And his two daughters. So we kind of grew up together with the family, you know. And Geraldine, his wife, she's still around the corner. We have lunch or dinner with Geraldine a few times, maybe once or twice a week, you know. But there was no animosity at all. He went with the Dubliners. He got a great opportunity. And we all said, take it, you know. And then Paddy Sweeney and Shay Kavanagh, we're in the group at the time, so we just got somebody else to fill in the actual numbers, and we went our own way, he went his own way. And then after the Dubliners, he was with the Legends, Dublin Legends. But he was so used to being on the tour bus and all over Europe with the Dubliners, he was back to going around in the car with the Dublin Legends, and kind of he had sciatica, bad, and he couldn't just hack to. You know, you need to be out. When you have sciatica or something like that, you have to stretch out and that. But he wasn't able for that. So it was too much for him. So he gave it up and moved to Carlow. And he's doing a bomb. He loves golf. He's a great golfer too. Yeah. And so he actually
get the hole in one at the first shot.
in the clubhouse.
So I've grown up, my father, as you know, absolutely loves and idolises your band. And you as a person, he said when he was in London, you know, you helped him get over dark times. And I think that
he was good to us, mind you, back in the lower deck. Lovely man, Jeff.
He's a typical Irish man, so he doesn't like many people. So you hear him constantly saying how much of a gentleman, and you are a gentleman. So anyone that hasn't met Sean, had the privilege of meeting Sean, you've got a beautiful... Yeah, I remember even being younger, he used to treat me with just so much respect. I felt so adult-like, and you're just a really, really good person. And I'm not just saying that because we're on the interview. I'll have Patsy on tomorrow, Slaney. I'm joking.
Yeah,
No, I won't.
Patsy had a great voice.
So that was big shoes to fill. So did you then just become lead singer of the band, or did you try to kind of get someone else in?
Well, to be honest with you, Ciara, I never really sang. I have a great memory for names, numbers, everything, you name it. And but myself and my wife, Breed, got me good for, she died 8 years ago. But we were at home and I said, Patsy's gone. What do you know? No, we didn't know what we were going to do, you know. And she said, I bet you remember every song that Patsy or the Dubliners or the Fury sang. And so she said, she said, make a list of 20 songs and see if you can sing them. So I did and sang every one of them, not about that, you know, word for word, and then another 20. And she said, you have a fabulous memory. You have the best willpower I know of anybody. Because they stopped smoking, it was about 100 a day, and stopped in 81. Stopped drinking in 99, 25 years ago, because I got 3 hours to live. collapsed on stage in America.
I don't believe it. I never heard that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And lately I've stopped driving because my peripheral vision, my vision is perfect. I swear to God, Pat. Honestly.
I'm going to say, you told me I looked good at the start of this.
But no, my regular vision is grand. Just the peripheral vision is a little below the limit for the driving. You know, so it doesn't bother me at all. But I always reckoned never worry over something you've no control over, you know. And I always told
you've had a very positive outlook in life. And it's just,
you know.
You do have to. And it does. It helps. A positive mindset is something that keeps us all going. At lockdown, you kept us all going. I mean, you were singing.
I did 720 gigs, did you? Seven nights a week for 2 years solid. And it came. Somebody just sent me after, who was keeping check of all this, some friend of mine that down in Kerry, just said, you know, you did 720 gigs. I said, what? Well, and it wouldn't be 2 years. No, 365 days.
So we all know here.
Everybody was saying to me, just do one night or two nights. That's all they're all just. No, I said, I want you. What else should we be doing? I talk to the microwave, you know. Get 3 hour conversation in 5 minutes, you know.
We always talk about when the Dublin City Ramblers formed, and obviously you guys went abroad and you have hit America big. I've watched some stuff online. You were there 7 months ago. What point in your life, how old were you when you realised, do you know what, we have something big here. This is bigger than I have ever expected. Yeah. I have a bit of fame. How did that feel?
Well, it actually happened in 1970. I was always kind of late for work. Now I'm a time freak. After if we're meeting, the band is meeting at 6 o'clock, it can be as long before, if you like, but not a minute after.
And just to add on that, Sean, just before you continue, today when we were doing the link, I said, I'll send it at about 10:10. He said, no, actually, can you send it before? He wanted it half an hour early. He would have been left on his own talking to him.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm terrible. I'm surprised I'm even not terrible at this stuff. But I was always late, and the boss called me. I think, remember, it was late 1969, early 70, and he called me, and then he said, and he's a lovely man, and he just said, you know, you're always late, and something has to go, you know. And then he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. You know, he said, you're fired. You know, so that was it. And I said, okay, it's going to be the music. That just make up my mind. And you know, we just had a great feeling. But we were young and mad and wild, and so I just said, no, we go for the music.
Good. Tell me this, because there's only 10 minutes left on this particular platform. If you see it on your screen, you'll see remaining meeting time, 9:22. Okay. I'd need to book you every week to get what I want to ask you, but I will try. Who, in your opinion, is a young Luke Kelly or a young Ronnie Drew? Something, those voices that we don't hear. Is there anyone that's going now that you think?
The voices that we hear, I find, are very forced. They all want to be Luke Kelly, but they're screaming the song. They're not singing them with the feeling. Luke sings from the heart and from, you know, from
effort,
straight from his heart and from the history of the song and all that. But they're all coming out screaming the Luke Kelly songs. I think Luke would turn in his grave. But there's a lot of these new bands coming up, and they're all ballad groups, but they're singing the stuff that Dubliners sang, we sang, the Furies sang, the Old Tones, you know. And it's just, they're making a fortune, they're cleaning up, and good luck to them, and the best of luck, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the way, like, we had a kind of a, you had to earn your, you had to serve your time in our day. And or else you may just give it up. We might last a year, 2 years, 10 years, but they're just coming up for them, getting 4 or 5 fellas together singing, and I just can't listen to what I hear. Luke Kelly, and there's nobody can copy Ronnie Drew, you know. That's one way something, you know. Or Luke, to say, but we have the chap in our band now. We had Pierce and Paul in the band for years there, and they kind of had a few things happen. They had enough for kind of thing, nothing bad or anything. But the lad now with Tommy Mangan on keyboards with me, and Roy Buckley, a guy from Cork, and he's only 37. As a lot of people are saying to me, like, just the young and the old. I mean, I'm not going to last forever. I'm 100 plus fat, you know. So. And just show that, yes, I'd love to see somebody keep it going and a lot. So there's only ourselves, I think, the Wolf Tones and Furies left, as far as, well, that's all I can.
Sad. This is a sad thing for me, because I'm over in England and somebody tried to recreate the Dubliners on stage. I went to it thinking I would feel better. I came out, I was scarred. I never seen anyone cock up Molly Malone as much. But look, they're doing their best. But when you're so used to living in Ireland and hearing that song for many, many years, it was almost, I felt, a guy got up to do Irish dancing and he was no more Irish dancing than the man on the moon. You know, there was, he just said, ah, you know, the English, they won't know type thing. But I knew by looking he wasn't doing Irish dancing.
It's the whole thing. They're going out there and they're singing like, they're filling places, but that's just good management.
Yeah.
And they're filling places. And like, you know, I was talking, we were in the Glen Eagle there on Saturday down in Killarney, just back from America last week. And there's a good few people come up and say, yeah, we heard so and so, it doesn't matter who they were. But this was a show tonight. They said, you know, you told stories, you explained the song, where they're getting up and banging it. So they all want to be a mixture of the Dubliners ourselves and the Pogues, you know, and it's not working. I mean, for me, it's not working.
No, we need to get
them all very well, you know.
We need to get the young people back in and hopefully, I mean, we look up to the Wolf Tones, you, your band, sorry, and the Dubliners. So if the Dublin City Rockers, the Dubliners and the Furies, we look up to those, but who did you look up to when you were younger?
I always, none of us would be here without the Clancy brothers, you know.
Clancy.
They started in 59, 58, 59, and they used to drink and play with, you know, hanging out with Bob Dylan down in Greenwich Village. And we actually played in the pub. It was called the Red Lion. And that's one of them. There's another one. Another one. Huh?
That's our local down here. Our local is called the Red Lion.
Yeah. But this was kind of, I know they drank in another pub lots of times. They only dropped in there a couple of times and played. And the photograph was on the wall. And the guy, Whelan was the second name. I can't remember. I think it was Tom Whelan. You know, there's only one of the photographs going up on that wall. That's yourselves. So as far as I know, we're still on the wall beside the Clancy brothers in Greenwich Village. Because he loved what he heard. It was all natural and stuff. You know, the whole thing I find about it these days is nothing natural about it, you know. Which is a shame, you know. But if they keep it going, fair play to my well. I'm glad, because Roy Buckley, this guy, I've given him full permission that when I go, he can write the biography of all the bands he wants and record. He's a great voice. He writes songs, but he loves what he does. You know, we had Paddy Sweeney, who was a fantastic singer. I'm sure your dad knew you, Paddy, well. And he joined us when Patsy, he was with us when Patsy left, but he stayed on for a couple of years. And unfortunately, now he can't. But a fantastic voice, you know.
Did you guys play in the Wexford Inn back in the day?
Ah,
not the place. Yeah. So you've met Luke Kelly, you've met them all.
I've played golf with Luke a few times, yeah. Yeah. One time, yourself, Patsy, Jim McCann, Paddy Riley, and Luke met in Paddy Riley's house. And we were all out the night before in New Bankman. So it was a. Breakfast was, you know, vodkas and cokes, you know. And we went out and played. And after that, myself and Patsy, we were playing with Luke. And Paddy and Jimmy Cam went on ahead. And after four holes, I'd never forget it. Luke just, he was terrible. Worse than me, because we were all hungover. And he just broke the club over his leg, threw it in the woods and said, see us back at the clubhouse. We did.
And that was that.
And it was Good Friday and we were there till about Good Sunday.
Oh, God. Well, Sean, before you go, because we have 4 minutes and 2 seconds, can you please let the listeners know where they can contact you best if they wanted to book you, come to see you?
Yeah. They can contact me at my own mobile number 087-223-8831 or Jim McQuillan, our manager, 085-888-0001.
Thank you so much. Sean, I feel like that no meant time.
Sorry, wcramblers.com at gmail.com.
At gmail.
Sean McGuinness at gmail. You know he's. You have
to. Just Google Sean McGuinness, you'll come up.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your time. I can't tell you how much this means to me because.
Oh, me, honestly, that's great to see you again. Tell your dad my best, my very best.
I will. I'll tell him I will. Thank you so much, Sean. Have a good day.
Thanks for being here. You too.